Well, good evening and welcome, everyone. It's Terry Tillard here. I'm going to be hosting the call this evening. Really excited to have you all, and really, really excited to have our guest, Michael Pedersen, here joining us this evening. I've been a student of water for a long time, for many years. I've realized the importance of water, the role it plays in the body, how we're largely composed of water. Experts range from 70% to 99.9%, I've heard some people say, that we are technically almost all water. So obviously, to me, that screams importance, and I don't know about you listening, but when I started learning the facts about all the chemicals and the drugs and even just the chlorine and the fluoride that's put in the water, I knew that I wanted to set a higher standard for myself, that I would no longer drink tap water. And many years ago, the finances were not there. I didn't have the money. I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. So I started looking into simple, water pitcher type filtrations and shower filters, because the dangers of showers are important, which we will touch on tonight. And so for years, that's what I used, but at least I did something about it. And after years of research, I wanted to originally start a water filtration company of my own. And then I came across the work of Michael Pedersen, and I realized that there's probably not a chance on the planet I would ever catch up to his knowledge base and be able to design something that was superior to what he had. And I just wanted to drink the best water. So anyway, I don't want to make the story about me tonight. Long story short, now we've got all kinds of stuff for filtration under our counter. We've got a shower filter. We get structured water. We add minerals. We do a lot of things for our water, for our family. And, just this week, having a great conversation with Michael, learning even after 10 years of researching the subject, I realized that I had a blind spot for some risk exposures that I didn't know about. And so I believe that we're going to be doing some upgrades again soon. So without further ado, I want to enthusiastically welcome Michael Pedersen to the call. We really appreciate you taking the time, Michael. And as we get started, if you could just give us everyone, maybe a short little background about, your experience with water and the research and, some of the NASA stuff that you have connections with. And so I'll let you share with everyone a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into some questions.
Sure, Terry. It's a pleasure sharing the evening with you guys. And I could give you a quick brief here. I got into water over 30 years ago. I was always into health one form or another, and I was a aviator by profession, but it came from a long line of fathers and grandfathers that were physicians, so that was kind of like a fallback if I didn't do the flying jobs. And in short, I got furloughed from an airline, and I decided, we're going to have to find a way to eat outside of flying, because it's very tied into the economy, and I wanted to get into something that I could run out of my house back then. And I was thinking, something health-related, must be sales, maybe air and water would be healthy. And I was still actually flying around at the time, where I was able to go out and check out companies that had water filters available. And I would see the funniest things, where they'd say, we remove 106 of the priority pollutants, quote unquote. And you'd turn over the test results and you'd find out that was tested like at 1/8 of a gallon a minute. And you say, wait a minute, this filter says it's produced at 1 gallon a minute. Well, that's the equivalent of saying you had a big car that would give you 100 miles a gallon, and you kind of scratch your head thinking, if it's in neutral coasting down Pikes Peak, And the thing is, not everybody has that subjective knowledge in the science arena. So I was quite disappointed. And it led me to ultimately work on materials that were related with NASA that I can talk about later, but creating a filter that would finally give me what I was looking for, that I knew we needed over 30 years ago, health-wise. Now becoming more common knowledge about the dangers of chemistry and water. And it's a little bit more obvious to people. As a matter of fact, bottled water sales will eclipse the sales of soda this year alone, just because that's what I think most consumers turn to first when they think about trying to drink some healthy water or clean water before they realize they can practically do it better by filtering if they have the proper equipment. And determining what the proper equipment is kind of a very difficult thing to do. And hopefully tonight we can help you become a little bit enlightened in areas and understand some of the pitfalls that are out there for consumers and guide you through a few hoops.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that, Michael. Appreciate the background. I think one of the things we should do is define the problem. If you want to define a solution, you need to first start by accurately defining the problem. So if you could, give our readers, our listeners, some insight into what are the dangers. Why do we not just drink tap water or not just drink well water or bottled water? And what kind of different methods are we exposed? And by that, I mean breathing versus drinking versus, transdermal or skin contact. If you could just elaborate a little bit on the problem, and then we'll kind of break down the solution and hopefully discuss some of the other solutions that are out in the marketplace and, what they're doing right and some areas that they can improve and so on.
Well, people are always asking me, what's the best filter? And really the answer first is what is the best for you? In other words, you could have a barrel of Keys, and they're all different. And I can ask you, hey, which one's the best? Well, clearly it's going to be the one that opens your door. And it's the same thing here with filtration. You got to find the one that's going to do the job for the challenge that you have. And the first paradigm that people probably would want to consider is what is a thought of what constitutes a healthy water. So it really doesn't matter what you're starting out with. You want to know where you want to end up. And in my opinion, the healthiest water is one that literally you just take out the bad and leave in the good. Now, that's simplistic, but the short way of saying it is that there are chemicals, there are microbiological agents, there could be a number of things that could be wrong with your water, and you want to take them out. But at the same token, the World Health Organization has established through many epidemiological studies how important and critical it is to leave essential minerals in the water you drink, or you could become at risk for becoming a mineral insufficient. So first thing would be, hey, what is it that you have in your water now that needs to help be taken out that will then satisfy that first step, and that is taking out the bad? And for that, you have to understand, what's in the water that constitutes a negative issue? And I divide it simply into three areas for discussion purposes. One would be microbiological. Another area, and they're all equally important, so I can't say first important or second important, is inorganic chemicals, and that would be like lead or heavy metals such as arsenic, mercury. And then your organic chemicals is a much wider issue. That's your pharmaceuticals that you're hearing a lot about now, along with, of course, things like herbicides, pesticides, industrial solvents, and unfortunately the disinfection byproducts that we get from the city trying to take care of that first issue, which is microbiological. And when I said city, what I'm saying is that 75% of you out there, just by odds, are going to be on municipal or city water. 25% will be well water. That's the U.S. Statistics. And in the city water or municipal water, they try to render it microbiologically safe by using a chemical, generally chlorine, or we know it as some sort of disinfection agent, that unfortunately will interact with organics in the water, creating a secondary chemical which we call disinfection byproducts. And the thing about that is that they're generally carcinogenic. Now, Terry had mentioned briefly that, there's different paths of exposure. And there's three primary ways that we can get chemicals into our body. The obvious one is ingestion, drinking the water. But a lot of people don't realize that you can also get it through skin absorption and through inhalation. As a matter of fact, the disinfection byproducts as a VOC, most likely you'll have a 600% greater chance in terms of how much you will get into your body from what you breathe, exchanging so many atmospheres an hour for 8 hours a day in your home, than drinking 8 glasses of water. But I'll stop right now to try to give Terry a chance to maybe give us some specific direction to head to next.
No, I think it's a great direction. So why don't we touch on the concept? I think, at minimum, even for those who are budget conscious, when I first learned, and correct me at any time if I'm wrong, I learned, it was told to me that one shower was more dangerous in terms of my chemical exposures than was an entire day's worth of drinking water. And shower filters, although not perfect, and I'll let you touch on their limitations, do limit some risk factors very affordably, and it seems to me that most people are looking always only at drinking water and not the shower issue. And from there, we can talk about other ways that the contaminants in the water are getting into affecting our air quality. We'll touch on that after. Maybe it would be a good segue.
Well, essentially, again, this is that area that it's actually one of my little pet peeves, is numerous internet sites that talk about the dangers of the toxic substances that you'll be introduced to in a normal shower each day. And that's true to a certain degree, but really, as I said, it's you're really breathing it in from the fact that you're bringing chemicals into your home throughout all your water usage. Because as a volatile organic compound, the chemical doesn't want to stay in solution. It converts to a gas at a rate of approximately 50%. But when you flush your toilet, people say, well, why would you want to do your whole house filter? And why? Because, hey, who cares about filtering toilets? Well, because when you flush, that water agitates, and the evaporation rate of those chemicals are even higher than 50%. Same thing with the washing machine. That's probably your greatest. That's like 98%, the evaporation of those, or volatilization, I should say, of the VOCs. And this contributes to the fact that you now have it everywhere in your house, not just your shower. But these sites that talk about the dangers of the shower, the reason why is they're selling these shower filters that will reduce chlorine. We make one that also reduces chlorine. But you want to keep in mind that chlorine, although is not the greatest chemical in the world, and it's a irritant on your skin as an oxidizing agent, it'll dry you out, and doesn't smell great. But the real risk comes from when the chlorine interacts, as I said earlier, with the chemicals and the other organic substances in the water, creating chloroform primarily is the major disinfection byproduct. It's a trihalomethane that's very carcinogenic. And that chloroform you get from the air in your entire home. And the problem is we can't take it out with a typical shower filter. Yet these internet sites that talk about the terrible exposures that you get in a shower, quote unquote, the very next paragraph they start talking about their shower filters and how they dechlorinate. And as a average consumer, you're immediately going to jump on, oh, well, then this must take care of this tremendous toxic risk. Well, it's not doing everything for the whole house, and it's certainly not doing anything in your shower. And the reason is they don't have the mechanism to be able to reduce the chloroform. Again, now, they're knocking out the chlorine, so you're not seeing that so much anymore. So it's out of sight, out of mind. You can't smell or taste chloroform. And the point is, the mechanism for reducing that requires a considerable amount of contact time, and the fact that the speed is such that if we made a filter that would actually work, and we do, by the way, we call it showering with a buddy, and it's about the size of a scuba tank, and I'm not exaggerating, and that's about the size you need if you wanted to effectively remove these chemicals from your shower. You can't hang that on the wall without pulling the wall down. So the practical way to remediate chloroform in the home isn't the shower, it's the whole house. However, there are people that live in apartments that don't have the opportunity to, or the availability to install a whole house unit. And so if they're very chemically sensitive, that would be the only solution, is to develop a product that they could use for at least cutting down on what they're getting in the shower, because the hyper sensitive clients that we have, you know, they can't shower like the average, like I do or most people do, where they don't really cough and sneeze and wheeze and turn all sorts of colors while they're in the shower. And that's what these hypersensitive people are like. So you've unfortunately got to be able to keep playing around with the sizes until you establish what would be the proper size to reduce the chemicals. And after doing this for 30 years, it's pretty much simply put that you really should do it at a whole house, but if you live in an apartment, about the size of a scuba tank is what you really need to take the chemicals out. So that's that answer.
Yeah, and I find that interesting because, I mean, the shower filter that you guys design, I'm very happy with it. I still think it's price per value ratio, and for those who can't do a whole home for any number of reasons, I'm much happier having a shower filter than not having one. And the first thing I was surprised about was the amount of media that was attached to the shower head, because other shower heads I've seen before had, must have had tiny amounts of embedded filtration media somewhere in there. But relative to the one that was sent to my place, I couldn't believe that there's a huge canister attached, which leads me to another point we might as well touch on right now, that contact time and surface area and the amount of media that water has to pass through to properly remove contaminants. I think most people, probably don't think it through, but they think that there's I've seen water filters where the actual filtration media, I can't even figure out where they hide it because it doesn't seem like there's much in there, and we are meant to trust that all the contaminants are being removed in that small space. So if you could touch on the importance and value of contact time and media and surface and all that fun stuff.
Well, without getting too technical, we take chemicals out of the water through a process known as atomic adsorption. And this adsorption actually is five different areas that we can talk about if you wanted to. But without getting too technical, they all are time dependent to a certain degree, meaning that we have to let it's like putting a cake in an oven, where if you've made a cake mix and stuck it in the oven but pulled it out a minute later, you wouldn't have cake, you'd have some sort of soup. But if you left it in for the proper amount of time, then you'd have cake. And that's how I kind of try to put in consumerese that what we're doing is we're really baking these chemicals onto the surface of the media. And when we say surface, it's two-dimensional. And to give you an idea, in a 1 gram, which is like a teaspoon amount of media, there's over 2,000 square meters of surface area, which is almost mind-boggling. But again, we're taking out chemicals that are so tiny that they can fit in that space, no problem. Now, the thing is, not all medias are the same, and they don't all respond the same. But the one thing that is in common is they do take a certain modicum of time. It's called an isotherm. And we have to go ahead and develop and study to see exactly how big we have to build a filter and at what flow rate we can allow the water to go through that we can effectively remove these chemicals. And so if we go back to that cake scenario, if you had a not-so-good cake mix and you pulled it out a minute after you put it in, you'd have a not-so-good soup. But if you left it in for the right amount of time, you'd have a cake, but it wouldn't be that great. But if you had a terrific cake mix, that's where there's a commonality here. If you only pulled it in for a minute and pulled it out, you'd have a soup. It'd be a great soup, but it wouldn't be cake. But you leave it in for the proper amount of time, then you'd have a great cake. So we have to have a great filter media, but we still have to follow the rules of physics of adsorption that it requires to be able to pull these chemicals out. So that's what we do. And we can do that from a pour-through unit, which may seem kind of inexpensive and not that big, but it just drips through. And that's where we can get the right amount of time. Yet we can go to the other extreme and do the whole house, which is a 5-foot high tank. But now the water can run through there at 5 gallons a minute, which is quite a heavy flow of water compared to a drip here and a drip there. And so we can run the full gamut anywhere in between. And that's just a light touching on it. I know you'd asked earlier about the different technologies that are out there. and we should get into that because you're going to hear about things like distillation, reverse osmosis, and carbon filtration. And the thing is, the distillation and reverse osmosis have one thing in common, and that is they actually pretty much strip the water of everything, which is an okay thing, except you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Remember, I talked about the World Health Organization and how they determine through health studies how important it is to keep the minerals in the water. If you drink water that the minerals are taken out and your diet isn't proper, you will end up robbing minerals that you do have in your body by using this water. And that's documented. But if you use a carbon filter, by default, they won't take the minerals out of the water, so that's a good thing. But the problem is, as an average consumer, you're not going to know which carbon, like looking at the keys in the barrel, like I talked about earlier, you know, which is the right one for you. You have no way of knowing. And so the only way you can solve that problem is find a way to supercharge the carbon, which we have done, so that it'll respond like you could grab any key out of that barrel and it would work. And so no matter what we put in, we have a pretty good chance of taking it out. And that's the media. Now all we got to do is design the filters for the proper application. And for people that maybe aren't quite confident in filtration in general, you know, the pour-through unit is a great starting point because it's relatively inexpensive, and for what it could do, it's a tremendous value. But people that have taken the time to study and look at what the paradigm of a healthy water is and then look at the technologies that are available and realize, okay, we want to get the chemicals out, leave the minerals in, we want to do it at this flow rate. Well, we can offer countertop or under the sink units for your kitchen that are quite effective. And here again, there's so many areas I could talk about. I'd rather, Terry, you just give me some guidance on what it is, or maybe start taking some questions or something, because there's just too many questions and not enough time in 1 hour show.
Right, and I appreciate that, and I don't want to derail you either. So why don't we take on some of the major solutions that are out there, generally speaking, like you just did. So let's assume it's safe to say that reverse osmosis and distilled, if for no other reason of the minerals, are not the optimal filtration systems. One question for you before we continue about other technologies is, can you just add minerals back? Because I've had many people ask that question. I know a lot of people, sadly, have made great investments into those systems, and honestly, my heart goes out to them for trying to do the right thing. And anyway, but I know a lot of people ask, well, can you just add minerals back? Does it work that way?
Yeah, actually, you can. We've been working with developing natural earth minerals into a ceramic that when you run water through that has been, let's say, comes from an RO or a distiller, we'll put the proper minerals back and also get the pH back up where it belongs. A lot of people don't understand that when you strip all these minerals, they're hydroxyls, you're taking them out of the water, you're going to end up with a pH that's below 7. It's going to be acidic. You test any RO, test any distiller, it's most likely acidic. And so when we add these minerals back, we not only are buffering the water so it becomes less aggressive, but we're also elevating the pH and restoring some of the alkalinity, all three. And so when customers call up and they tell me how they have invested, let's say, in an RO system, clearly it would have been, if prior to that investment, they could have had opportunity to maybe buy one of our triple units that accomplish and have cartridges that go after that big three that I talked about. That would have been a great thing to do. But now that they have the RO, rather than tell them to throw it out, I'll say, hey, for those of you out there that might have an RO, we do have a cartridge that we call our remineralizing cartridge. And the other thing I advise people that have an RO, unfortunately, the membranes can be quite efficient, but only if your pressure is very high. And people on well water, and actually even city water, that 40 pounds, 50 pounds is not going to give your best rejection rates. That's what it's called in the RO world. And so there are a couple hundred dollars for a electric DC-driven pump that's not very big. It's probably about the size of a soda can that you can add to your system that will boost the pressure by 60 pounds to whatever you have, thus getting that RO membrane to work like it was meant to be right from the beginning. Because a lot of times the results you see on tests for our MRO companies are indeed when they have the pressure boosted, though just like when I got me suckered me in 30 years ago when I was seeing these wonderful results and then looked at them closely and found out they couldn't have been any more bogus. And the problem again on all the way across the board are the guys that do the marketing companies. They're not really manufacturers as much as they're marketing driven guys. They want you to buy something because it can make the water look better, smell better, and taste better. And so the problems, they're out of sight, out of mind, and you can't see it. And they know you're not going to spend the kind of money it would take for testing to see if the thing's really working. When the test costs more money than the product, people aren't generally going to do that. So you're really, it's a faith. It's a leap of faith. So it's a lot better to do your homework before you buy anything. But the carafe is a good way to start because it's rather inexpensive and great value. And what we did is we tested a lot of configurations, because if you look at the common pitchers that are out there, there's two things that are going on. One is more filter media we put in. I'm trying to make you guys the filter design experts, but the more you put in, the more you can do. And it's a logarithmic progression. And so, in fact, if we build a filter that's a pour-through filter that is a certain size, we can actually get some really fine results. But if you look at a lot of the products that are out there, they're rather inexpensive cartridges that are very tiny, like you mentioned, Terry. And as such, they're crippled in what they can do, because as we increase the size, we're exponentially increasing its ability. So when we designed a carafe, and we did this over 30 years ago, we took all of those parameters and design parameters into consideration and say, look, let's build something that somebody doesn't have to buy a new cartridge every month if they want to do it right. It'll last a whole year. And because of that, instead of removing only one organic chemical and maybe a half dozen inorganics, we can remove maybe 55 or so. That's a lot compared to only one. And not only that, the consumer only has to buy the cartridge once a year, and that ends up being less than half the cost and clearly a lot less of the trouble than the companies that are selling this tiny ones. But here again, unfortunately, some research has shown how a lot of Americans, they like the credit card idea. They like the idea of buying one every month because it seems cheap. It's almost like buying that soda. When you buy a soda in a vending machine, my goodness, nearly everywhere, they're always at least a dollar, if not more. And, when you do that, you don't think much of it. And if you buy two a day, 5 days a week while you're at work, just do the math. How many dollars that is a year that you're spending on just the soda you buy at work, which is unhealthy to begin with, but more importantly, that's quite a bit of money. And that's done because it sneaks up on you. Well, that's what the smaller cartridges do. They make the water taste better, but they effectively aren't taking out the chemicals. And more importantly, you're spending a lot more money because it sneaks up on you, because you're buying cheap stuff every month versus one that's going to last. Well, it really depends on what you're doing. We have different models, but anywhere from 3 months to a year, depending on all the different items we can offer.
Well, it leads me to the next question. A lot of people have ionizers or these electronic digital pH machine type things sitting on their countertops, or they've got friends who've approached them who want them to buy. Sometimes I've seen some of them that were over $4,000 and only addressing the countertop, not addressing all the whole home issues that you mentioned earlier. And I, you know, I find it a little bit sad, but I also know that there's probably some merit to some of the things that they're doing right. And also, people get blinded by the marketing of the value of the 9.5 pH or the ionization and stuff. If you could help people understand in layman terms what's real, what's hype, and maybe some of the things that they're not doing correctly or that consumers may not be seeing, such as not taking out the bad before they go and try and do these additive things to the water. If you could give people a little bit of context on that, I'm sure they would appreciate that.
Well, water ionizing machines have been around now for 40 years, originated in Japan after trying to replicate water that was found in cities, the few cities where people were living to be, you know, extraordinarily healthy and ripe old ages. And in fact, what they found by looking at the water, they saw a lot of alkalinity. They saw where the oxidation reduction potential was really low. And they also, you know, noticed the fact that the structure of the water itself lended itself to be more bioavailable because the clusters were smaller. Now, what I mean by that is HOH, you ask any fifth grader, they'll, you know, what is water? They'll say, oh, it's H2O, which is really an H, an O, and an H. If you draw two H's side by side and space a little bit of space between them with an O above them in the kind of on center and connected the dots, that angle that's formed, that angle actually has been determined to show approximately how many of these water molecules will cluster together pretty much like grapes on a vine. So if you take a look at a bunch of grapes, that's what you're seeing in a microscopic cell. And when you look at a glass of water with these water molecules. Now, the thing is, when there's a bunch of a lot of numbers, and they could be randomly anywhere between 30 to 40 groupings of the water molecules to 300 to 400, it tastes the same. It looks the same. You're not going to notice any difference, except your body's going to have a little more difficulty transporting that water into the blood cell because we have a protein that was only identified in about the year 2000 by a doctor up at Johns Hopkins. And ultimately, I think he shared a Nobel Prize in chemistry for this. But the point is that protein, the aquaporin's sole job is to reduce these clusters. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of like the way I eat grapes. So if I had a bunch of grapes in my hand, I'll pull one grape off at a time and eat it. Well, that's what your body does with the water molecules. So these machines offer the energy required to alter the bonding angle so that these clusters will be at a lower number so that aquaporin will have a better chance to do more of the work to get more water into your blood cells, which means you become higher state of hydration, which is very important to good health on a day-to-day basis. And we don't need a water ionizer exclusively. We need energy. We can do that with magnets. We can do that with actually crystals, and of course, electronic plates found in ionizer also does a great job for this. But the ultimate concept is that we're reducing these water clusters so that we improve the bioavailability. So that's one aspect. The oxidation reduction of potential on the ionizer, the lowering net, converting it from a plus value to a negative. A negative in this case means a good thing because it's that fact that a plus value is oxidation. And a negative is an antioxidant. So we want to convert that down. So, of course, I don't have to explain the necessity for how the oxidation, you know, pushes the aging. And antioxidants helps reverse the aging. So we want to, you know, take in as much antioxidant as possible. And then in terms of the alkalinity, a lot of people are under the false impression that alkalinity is and pH are, you know, one or the same, and they're not. Although you can use, to a certain degree, pH testing methods to indicate the presence of alkalinity. It won't tell you how much is there. And alkalinity are the hydroxyls that are important that cause what's known as the alkaline tide in our body. And the reason why we drink alkaline water is the same reason why when people are informed that they have cancer and their physicians tell them to start eating a microbiotic diet, that's basically meaning foods that are all alkaline for the purpose of promoting the production of the sodium bicarbonate that our body produces, that is the mechanism. Again, fifth grader stuff, if you ask the fifth grader, what does the blood do? They'll say, oh, it brings in the good and takes out the bad. Well, the taking out the bad is what we're addressing here. That mechanism is really the sodium bicarbonate that's loaded onto the blood is the way that the acidic waste that we develop on a second-by-second basis. We have over 70 trillion cells in our body, and they will go ahead and half will be healthy and divide on an average of every 30 days. And, of course, for every time one divides, then it becomes two, another one dies off. And so that's 30-some trillion, so a trillion a day of cells are just sitting around our body creating acidic waste, which is the center for a lot of disease that our blood has to remove. And the mechanism is, do we have a fully charged blood cell with sodium bicarbonate? And we don't have a switch that we can turn on our body to be able to manufacture that bicarbonate. It's actually a secondary process because we do have like a low-level sensor for hydrochloric acid, which is the mechanism for digesting food in our stomach and our lower intestine. And whenever it gets low-level, the body kicks in and replaces it. So the whole concept of this alkaline tide is that we eat a macrobiotic diet or we drink alkaline water, water with a lot of hydroxyls and alkalinity in it, neutralizes the hydrochloric acid, the body replaces it, so we're back to normal there. And during that process of manufacturing the hydrochloric acid, the sodium bicarbonate is co-produced, and that's what we want to stock up on to keep our bodies healthy and keeping the acidic accumulation of all these decayed cells out. And so hence that's probably the biggest issue with why people are taking alkaline water today is because they want to, if they read up on it, this is the reason why they're trying to invest in any way to increase drinking alkaline type water. We found that we can go ahead and produce products that increase alkalinity without the expense of the water ionizers. And again, that's done with taking these proper earth minerals and placing them in a form where when the water passes over them, they'll distribute, and it's self-governing. So it will never be too high or too low. And that's a good thing. So the way we can go ahead and change bonding angles of water besides using a water ionizer, we found with magnets. We got a couple patents in that technology where we can, again, cause that energy to increase the angle, to reduce the number of clusters so that the water becomes more bioavailable. And so, water clusters play a big role in the inhibition or the promotion of hydration, just depending on whether there's a lot or there's a few. And, of course, again, the alkalinity, we just covered that. So we can get these results not with only using ionizers, but ionizers. Ionized alkaline water has some really strong benefits. I've listed all of them. But we can substitute other products that will give you also the same effects.
That are much more economical also.
Well, that's the whole concept, exactly. And the thing is, not everybody has the excess money to spend on the ionizer, so they can at least get the alkalinity or maybe the alkalinity and the declusters. And, that's a really big start.
And two other questions for clarification. So those ionizers, they are, just to make sure I'm accurate in saying it properly, they change the pH, but they're not actually adding minerals and therefore not – if you can clarify that part for people, and also the What is the filtration, the stage of taking out the bad that's happening in the ionizers that are out, the various ones out there? Are they doing that adequately?
Yeah, okay. I've looked at most of them because I've helped develop a couple units for some people. And the first client was Sang Wong, who wrote the book Reverse Aging, which is the same book that's used by nearly every water ionizer sales company in the world, not just America. And he devoted the last part of his life into the study of the health effects of alkaline water and was quite an acclaimed author. And he decided to come out with his own water ionizing machine. And without my knowledge, he had invested in a numerous filtration company by buying filters, sending them off at his own expense to labs. And when it was all said and done, we came out at the top. So he had called me up and introduced himself to me and asked if, you know, he could use our filters in a yet-to-be-developed water ionizer machine. And he stated the reason why is that he felt that most people, to get the true benefits of the alkaline water, they first have to treat the water properly. And most ionizers are using 40-year-old filter technology. Now, there's a reason for that, and that is if you look at the two countries that they are developed in, the water there happens to be, you know, basically very, very good. In other words, very low chemicals. Moderate minerals, not excessive, very healthy water, actually. And so the need for the filtration, the need to have something that we would need here isn't there. So there was no reason for them to develop things back then. And also 40 years ago, here again, the average person, they didn't understand the risk relationship of chemicals in the water. And risk assessment programs weren't really even barely just started going at that point. So one thing is that most of the units, they don't give a good basic water to start with. So that's like using not the best ingredients if you're going to cook a dinner. You want to at least have fresh food. That makes a big difference. And Dr. Peggy Parker, who wrote a book on this, she was prescribing water ionizers to her patients, and they weren't getting the results in many instances. And then she realized that, wait a minute, you know, we need a good water filter in front of these things. So she went back and had them install pre-filtration, and then she saw the results she was looking for. So she wrote a whole book on this just because of that. And so here we have people that are truly dedicating themselves to health that have identified that, hey, if you're going to do this, the first thing is you want to start out with the right water. And so, you know, we have filters that can give that to you. And then the other question that you had, what was that?
No, I'm just
Terry?
Listening.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Just listening.
No, the other question.
Oh, I guess I wanted to know two things. One was are the ionizers adding minerals? Are they having another mechanism of simply changing the reading of the pH?
Real quickly, no. They have to work with what they got. In other words, if you have water, and we do get these calls where people say, hey, I've got an ionizer and it's not working. And Mary's works fine. And Mary's in the next town over. So the real obvious question after you go through all the major troubleshooting ones is, you wouldn't mind just taking it over to Mary's house and hooking it up and see if it works. So they do, and sure enough, it works fine. So it turns out, you know, if you don't have the proper amount of minerals in the water, really what happens is this. You've got hydrogen, which is acidic, you know, on that H2O scale, and then you've got hydroxyls, which are the minerals. And these are, you put the two in the water and run them through electronic plates where you have a positive and a negative, and they pull their opposing poles apart. There are no valves in a water ionizing machine. So you have one inlet of a single source of water that as it passes between these two plates, one is going to be charged with a positive charge, one will be a negative. At the very end of the run, instead of a hole in the center, there's holes on the sides. So whatever happens to be on one side, on the positive side, it goes out one way, and the negative goes out the other. So in essence, that's how we get this acidic and alkaline streams coming out. One's a drain line and one's a product water line. And if you want to change to where now you have acidic water coming out for a specific reason, you just press a button or turn a knob, depending on how the machine is, and all that's doing is changing the positive plate into a negative plate and the negative plate into a positive plate. There's no valving. And so now just the opposite's coming out on the different distributions. And as far as the minerals are concerned, the reason why you have the alkaline water appear to increase in alkalinity, because it does, is that you're concentrating, you're separating. You're basically taking what's in the water and you're moving it all to one side and then distributing it. So if there's enough to begin with, you're okay. If there's not enough, you're not going to be okay because you can still get a pH shift without the alkalinity to back it up is what I'm saying. And if there's very little there, you won't even get the pH shift because you don't have the hydroxyls present to pull that hydrogen off of. So you're just going to end up having the same product water coming out of both sides, the drain and the regular one. So if you need to increase your alkalinity for your body and your source water is devoid of that, here again, you need to get the proper unit to add that alkalinity to the water, because that's really the horsepower that's going to help decrease that hydrochloric acid that will then ultimately, when it gets replaced, increase that sodium bicarbonate, which is our very important mechanism for reducing all that acidic waste that has been determined is basically the aging process.
All right, so here's a couple of rapid fire questions then. I think that that water waste is a big problem and RO wastes money, and if I'm understanding wastes a lot of water. And if I'm understanding you properly, it sounds like the ionizers are also wasting, or am I misunderstanding something?
Well, they're not wasting if you put to use. There's a difference. An RO wastes water because it takes 4, 5, 6 times as much water to keep itself cleaned while it's producing the water that you're going to end up in the storage tank. The ionizer, 100% of the water that comes in comes out. It's just that one comes out in an alkaline format and the other comes out in acidic format. Now, you can take and capture the water that you aren't initially tending to use. Let's say you want to drink your alkaline water so the drain line is going to be acidic. You can capture that and save it to use it to clean your vegetables with. Or there are many plants that love acidic water. You can water your plants with them that love acidic water. So you could functionally use that for something. And, unlike the RO where it doesn't give you the opportunity and you probably wouldn't want to be using that wastewater for anything anyway that comes off of the RO.
Okay. So there are numerous ways to ameliorate water, to improve it. But there are no ways to get a perfect water, is what I've been learning from you. There's no such thing as perfect. You just look at reducing the various contaminants as much as practically possible while still keeping the minerals. And you do that by using, what in the industry is called selective filtration, as I understand. And selective filtration is using different filtration media to remove different kinds of poisons, much like you talked about with the three in the beginning of the call and why you have the triple, you have a thing you call a triple unit, which I own one of those. I also own the added minerals and all that fun stuff. In hindsight, I wish I went straight to the whole home. I really feel like it was a mistake. I kind of knew it when I did it. I felt like I was living in a temporary residence. There were a lot of things in flux in my life at the time, and I just thought, okay, I'll shower the filter, I'll do the triple, I'll add the minerals, I'll structure the water. I'm getting all the good stuff anyway, and the concept that the toilet and the laundry machine and hand washing and all these other things was literally pumping all kinds of chemicals into the home was scary to me and makes me want to upgrade, and my wife and I have been talking about that a lot this week. Because we're all about chemical-free living. When we were doing some kitchen renovations, I went and looked for Green Guard adhesives, Green Guard, certified low-emission countertops. We have a chemical-free bed. We don't use any chemicals in our personal care and so on. So realizing that this water is this blind spot, I want to do something about it. With that said, given that we're running a little bit low on time and we can't create perfection, let's go through a few scenarios using selective filtration and ways that someone can improve their water situation. We'll kind of give them the nutshell. So someone who lives in an apartment, their optimum best bet looks like, and someone who's on well water, their best bet looks like if they own their home, and then someone who's on a municipal water in the ideal scenario, what are some of the things they can do to create maybe not perfect, but optimum water situation for themselves? Okay. So,
yeah, that's a good question. You know, we make hundreds of products, quite a few actually. On our website, we only posture a few to support our dealers. But the reason I mention that is because I'm going to give you the same answer for both those that are on well water and city water. And it's not so much an answer I came up with exclusively, but again, many people that call me up and they've gone out and done their homework and they've learned the subjective knowledge on the paradigm of what healthy water was, and then more importantly, the type of technology, what we're looking for to produce that healthy water. And when you're on well water, someone calls up, I'll say, oh, I'd like you to go out and get a complete water analysis. I think anybody on well should get a complete water analysis by a state-certified laboratory about once a year. Now, there's reasons for that, and that is that there's some things that could possibly crop up that you definitely, if you knew they were there, you'd want to be taking them out on a whole house, you know, point of view. But let's say you got water that said, oh, this is like Fiji water or Evian water or Perrier or whatever. I mean, just the world's greatest $10 a gallon water. They don't sell it by the gallon because that's what it comes out to be. You would still be under the influence of the fact that you're on an underground river that could change at any time. So I would recommend the triple unit because it has a cartridge for biological, parasites, cysts, bacteria. It has a cartridge for heavy metals like lead, arsenic, mercury, and even reduces fluoride. And then we have a cartridge that's a very long list of organic compounds, which are, of course, we hear about the pharmaceuticals being an issue, the certain, you know, radon, herbicides, pesticides, industrial solvents. And so, you know, you want to be able to compartmentalize for the sake of time on this discussion, those three cartridges are probably your best bet all around. Now, what's curious is that I find many customers that have done their homework that are on municipal water will turn around and say they want the triple unit. Here again, we got all these products, and it's for the same reason. Probably in this case, we're talking about prophylactic treatment, where here again, you may buy car insurance. Why? Well, because if you get in a traffic accident, you want to have your car repaired, and you can't buy the insurance after you've been in the accident. Well, I think I hear every year in this, where I live here in Washington, D.C. area, boil water alerts at least once or twice a year. Well, you know, those alerts come out after the problem's been identified. So by then, it's almost too late. So you want to have a cartridge that's like your car insurance that will take care of biological issues. That's why the boil water is to reduce the biological. In terms of heavy metals, lead delivery systems, you know, Michigan is one of 60 cities that are in violation. It's just the only one that's in the headlines because it's current. That's all. It's everywhere. And then you got the organic chemicals. You can't be on a city system without having the chloroform as an issue because they need the chlorine that a couple times a year doesn't seem to, you know, be up to speed. Well, the rest of the year it's producing that carcinogen chloroform. So here again, triple unit. So it's really about as close to a one size fits all as you can get. And that actually is an easy one. I mean, it's taken me 30 years to get to that point. I'm not quite 30. I came to this understanding good dozen years ago, but it was a maturation process over, you know, between risk assessment programs and studying the industry and seeing what's going on to arrive to that. So that would be that answer. And then as far as, you know, do you have I was going to say, I think, don't you have people that have some questions? Because there is a time constraint, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's flexible as long as you're flexible, and I do would like to take a few questions, but I think it's important for people as a conclusion to the call still to get a good feel for the triple unit, be it under the counter, over the counter, or in a whole home model. And for those who, let's say, live in an apartment, you know, what can and should they do, and what can they do to improve the water after it's been cleaned? So let's just assume the triple you talked about is cleaned. It. How do we make it better?
I'll try to be concise. If you have a home or you live in an apartment, you know, the triple unit countertop or under the sink, it's the same cartridge, does the same job, is really the one that's probably the most popular sold by the consumers coming to us. Even though it sounds like I'm trying to direct you that way, it's just basically the nutshell answer you wanted. If you do a fortunate enough to own your own home, clearly you want to have a whole house filter for the VOCs. And you might want to polish off the point of use under your kitchen sink for the heavy metals and the biological, at least the single point where you do most of your water for cooking and for drinking. If you live in an apartment, as I said, you're not going to be able to do the whole house, but if you, again, the shower filter is going to knock out the chlorine, but it's not going to do anything for the chemicals. However, we do make a shower filter for that. It's a cute story in a way. A gentleman moved in many years ago from New Jersey into our area, and after about a month of going through many different companies trying to figure out how to take care of his water because he was so extremely allergic to something that was in the water back then. And being from New Jersey, that was back at the time where Time magazine would have all this skeletons and fish bones and all this on their cover and talk about New Jersey's pollution. And I was thinking, my goodness, you know, if that's where he came from and he's having problems here, I wonder how bad it really is here. But short story, this is how we learned how to do shower. We told him, look, let's build the filter bigger. And instead of turning completely red and getting blisters and coughing, he turned pink and no blisters and wheezing. So we built it a little bit bigger and not quite as pink and just a little blotchy and maybe a little bit trouble on the breathing. And then we did it bigger yet. Same stuff. That's the point I'm trying to make. And sure enough, now he's showering like he did back home in New Jersey. And so he was able to live out his contract and not have to go home 3 years early. And this is when we realized, hey, to get these chemicals out of the water at increased temperature for the shower with the speed that you shower at, you need to get a unit that emulates what we're doing on the whole house situation. And the only way to do that is actually like about the size of a scuba tank that sits down on the floor of your shower and you run a line like a water pick shower, like the handheld. You just buy a separate line or hose, I guess you want to call it, that they will offer at the like the Home Depots where you go to buy them. Underneath, they'll have extra lines, extra tubing. So you buy an extra replacement hose, and you run the unit that you install on your shower just down to the tank with the replacement hose, and then the original hose you run up to the bottom of the hand-held wand that also connects onto your shower, the pipe. And now you're showering in wonderful water. And that's what people that are very chemically sensitive will do. Now, when you get the shower filter that we offer, that, yes, it's bigger than most, it still isn't taking those chemicals out at the levels that we'd like to see. So we're still, not able to duplicate what we can do with the proper size filter on the floor for in your shower, but at least make if you're not going to get the proper size, at least you can get rid of the chlorine in the water so it appears better. And at least the drinking water, that's one thing that's important because you are going to be drinking a lot of chemicals that we could take out with the triple unit. So I think that pretty much covers it. If you have a house, I guess the whole house is the right way to go. And again, you could put in something to polish the heavy metals and the biologicals, and now you got it all covered.
Uh, one more, two more quick questions. One is, there's a myth out there, certainly by the, I believe it's perpetuated by the RO technology proponents, that there's no way to remove fluoride. So if you could touch on that quick.
What do you mean by there's no way to remove fluoride?
Well, I've heard many people.
By the RO or by us or by someone else or what?
I've been told by many people that they believe and they've read that there's no way to filter out fluoride other than reverse osmosis. Accurate or false?
Other than. No, well, first of all, if you're on regular city pressure, the RO is not even taking all of it out. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you own an RO, you better, and you don't have a boost pump, you might want to look into getting that compared to the cost of the RO. It's only, you know, it's an insignificant amount to add on to it. And you can add it on. It's not like you got to buy a whole new system. But as far as, yes, we're not going to take out 100% of the fluoride. You know, we're in the 60s to 70% range. Because in adsorption, it's very difficult to take the fluoride out because of the pH of the water that is occurring. You know, the municipalities raise the pH almost everywhere coast to coast to 8. And they do that to promote scale to reduce the lead issues from the delivery systems. And when you have the pH up there, it has a negative effect on almost all the water treatment systems. So, yeah, it's tough no matter what you're using, by the way. But on the adsorption, we can start to reduce it at a fairly good percent, but not completely, no. I mean, it's good. You know, we say between 60 to 70% at least. That's significant when you're looking at all the obstacles we have to overcome. And one thing, you didn't ask, but like on a triple unit, you have 3 cartridges, but they have different lives. You have the biological filter, it's 2 years, and cleanable. But we have the fluoride heavy metal reduction that's 6 months because you look at the other cartridge, which does the lion's share of the work, it's 12 months. And the thing is, the reason they're both the same size, and the reason that one's half the life is because it's just like a hard drive on a computer. They all look alike, but one could be a terabyte, one could be a, 100 gigabyte or 50 gigabyte or 10 gigabyte. But they all have the same size. And so the thing is, it's how many parking spaces you have available for your bits of information for your computer. It's the same thing here with the water filter. We need to, with the media, we have to have more parking spaces to have it last longer. And so the heavy metal media, by nature, because the chemicals are bigger molecules, they're bigger spaces. So it's like we're parking trucks instead of compact cars. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. We can put a lot more compact cars in a parking lot than we can school buses and trucks. And that's kind of another way to look at it. The other thing is
go ahead.
No, I said the other thing is that I do see people out there selling units saying, lasts a lifetime or, some crazy number. And that'd be like me telling you a car and saying you never have to not only change the oil, but never have to put gas in it. And I'm not talking about a Tesla. I'm talking about, a regular car. And people who know about cars, so they'd say this guy's full of baloney. But they don't know about water filters. And so, yeah, these sales guys, they use high pressure. They misstate. They use innuendo. And you really want to take the time to check out your facts.
Well, and that's one of the things I love about working with you is you're factual and it's never hyperbole and it's I really like that and I appreciate that. Here are my thoughts, Michael. Since you and I can narrow in on a lot of the important subjects, why don't I finish off with a few questions I think are probably key that are pressing to people, and then I'll let you get back to your life because you've been very generous with your time. And then perhaps if there are a lot of people asking me for questions and dying for it, maybe we could consider having you on a separate call if that works. And my 3 last questions are this. Number 1 was you talked about using things like magnets to get the benefits from the ionizers, like instead of using those electronic fancy machines that you can get the ORP, raise the pH, and also raise the alkalinity with minerals. So maybe at point of use stuff, you could just touch briefly what We talked earlier about what people can do in the wells, in the homes, in the apartments, a few of those point of use things that improve the water, just touching on their options for those.
Well, again, it's the same story. You have got, we got media that alkalizes the water that we can put in our pour-through units as a post-media for the fact that first we take out the chemicals with our filter media, and then we run it through our alkalizing media all in one piece. So it's like a 3-in-1. It works great. We can do that with the countertops. We can do that with the end of the sinks. You don't want to do whole house alkalization. That would just goof up your pipes because alkalinity promotes scale, and you don't want to do that. As far as declustering, we can use magnets in our point-of-use units. If you go to decluster.com, there we actually have a separate site. It's and pull out the science tab on the top, declustr.com. What you will find when you read the science tab is it's a nice, about 9 pages, but it's about hydration and how the role of water clusters play in hydration, and then how we can control these clusters using energy, specifically magnets, in the study we did in our lab using, actually we used plants of all things, mung beans. Plants aren't people, but they need water, and we got tremendous results. And ultimately, we now have like 2 patents in using magnetic technology to decluster the water. And we offer that in a soon-to-be-released water bottle that's for like on-the-go filtration and declustering and alkalization all in one. But we also offer the declustering in bands that can go around your current water bottle, bands that can go around your pitcher if you have a water pitcher, and then also those magnets that we could put right into the housing for our triple countertops or under the sinks, and it all works.
And they're all extremely affordable relative to those really fancy digital electronic machines, so I think that's fantastic. And I wanted to just point a clarification. When you said not to add minerals with the whole home, you're suggesting, and for the listeners, point of entry means whole home, where the water comes into the house. Point of use would be at the sink or something else like that, and you can combine a whole home point of entry filter, and then at your sink, just for your drinking water, add the minerals and increase the alkalinity there. That's accurate, correct?
That's accurate because, again, the alkalinity promotes scale. That's the last thing you want to do is scale up your home. And the one thing I didn't mention is that, you know, the devices we make, we always recommend, by the way, that you drink your alkaline water, 5 glasses minimum a day, spread out throughout the day, but you try to avoid it at least a half hour before and, of course, during, and then a half hour after meals, because you want to digest your food as completely as possible. The last thing you want to do is give your food some competition for that hydrochloric acid that you have in your stomach. But the same token, after you've done with your digestion, we want to go ahead and promote the expenditure of that hydrochloric acid so it can replenish. And while it's being replaced, the bicarbonate is being produced. So, again, you want to drink the alkaline water 5 times a day, but not during meals and not immediately before or after the meal. And it's not that hard to do. Like our end of the sink unit, we have special faucets that actually have 2 handles so that when we do the triple filtration and we add the alkaline cartridge, you open up 1 handle and it's filtered water only. You open up the other handle, it's filtered water plus the alkaline. And then the alkalizing media that we invented and we got a patent pending on, it also will reduce the ORP. So we get those 2 features in that 1 media, and then we use the magnetic technology for the declustering.
Perfect. Well, with that, I wanted to just make a quick announcement. And Michael, if you want to add anything to it at the end, that's good. For starters, I want to thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time. You're always so knowledgeable, and you're very accurate with your language. And I've never heard you, you know, exaggerate or make, you know, fancy claims that aren't backed up. And I love that about you. And I'm sure everyone on the call who likes knowledge and wants to just do the right thing by their family, because I know the people listening, that's what all they're trying to do. And you helped greatly with that. And if we can never have you on another call again, I'm sure we'd be grateful for that also. And what I wanted to state to people was, you know, I've been a user of Michael's technology for many years on one level or another, and every year it seems like it's becoming more and a bigger user using all of the different features that he has to offer and different technologies. And when I lived in Canada, there was no way for me to become a dealer. There's a gentleman who's a friend of mine who has exclusive rights for Canada. I really like the guy. I respect him. And to be honest, I'm sure I've sent over 100 people, if not more, to him with no commission, no anything. I didn't ask for anything. I sent them there because it was the right thing to do. I know what it was like getting lost in all of the marketing and hype claims out there. For those who just want to drink good water, I was trying to help my friends with their health, and I sent them, you know, to that Canadian dealer. This year in 2016 is a very new thing. When I started talking to Michael, we reconnected. We hadn't spoken in years. Now that I'm in the U.S., he started talking to me about becoming a dealer, and now I am a dealer for Michael's excellent Aquaspace and Aquatomic products and the like. So you can go to my website at terrytillert.com if you want to learn more of this information. A lot of this stuff that's found on decluster.com is also on my website. We're not finished with it. So if you have questions, you can email me this week. My wife and I are not going anywhere. We can make ourselves very available if you want to ask me a lot of questions. I don't have as many answers as Michael, but I've had the good fortune of spending more time with him. So hopefully I can guide you in the things that you need. And if you want to get in touch with us to ask more questions about what might be right for your situation, you can email us at tillertcustomerservice@gmail.com. So it's just my last name, which is the hardest trick is spelling that properly, customerservice@gmail.com. So you can get in touch with me and ask me some questions about what's a good fit. My wife and I, we can set up an appointment with you if you want to chat on the phone and talk about all these good things. And if there are questions I can't answer, I've got access to Michael, and I can certainly ask him on your behalf. And if you have a lot of other questions, it's such a huge subject. If I'm feeling like we're getting a lot of questions in that I can't answer, maybe we'll see if Michael has some more time for us. So with that, I'll stop talking. Michael, is there anything else you want to leave them with in parting? And I don't know, anything you want to leave in parting, I guess. I'll stop there.
No, I guess the guy in Canada, was that Mario?
It is.
You know, he was a high school teacher and ended up getting some of our stuff, and he was a chemistry major in college, and he taught chemistry in high school. And after he got done doing demonstrations and investigations on our product, he was so blown away by it. He said, I don't want to teach anymore. I think I just like to find a way to promote this product. I mean, he actually left being a high school chemistry teacher to promote Aquaspace throughout Canada. I mean, that's how impressed he was. And the first 15 years, we pretty much sold exclusively to chemists and doctors and engineers, because those are the people that have the inherent subjective knowledge to understand the benefits of this technology and how it can achieve the paradigm of healthy water. So I guess, you know, the proof's in the pudding. People have to try it, but that's a little side story that just popped up because it's true. He's a great guy, Mario.
Mario's a great guy. I liked supporting him and what you do because it was always the right thing. From all my water research, I never saw anything that came close, and I was tired of the hype. So, but now I'm proud to be a dealer and happy to help more people improve their water situation. So,
is there any specific questions that somebody texted into you or whatever I can answer real quick for them?
All right. If anyone has any very specific questions, I don't want to take too much more of Michael's time. *6 is how you unmute the line. And please press *6 after so we can remute it and keep the lines nice and silent so everyone can hear Mike with clarity. *6, anybody? Last call? And sometimes when we're around.